Welcome to The Inner Circle, the podcast where the Radius Group, a team of experienced wealth advisors, brings you inside the circle of smart financial planning. With a network of industry experts, the Radius Group discusses the latest trends while sharing timeless wealth management techniques. So whether you're looking to optimize your portfolio, minimize taxes, or plan for your future, The Inner Circle is here to provide exclusive and valuable insights.
Welcome back to another episode of the Inner Circle podcast. I'm Blair Cornell, Managing Director and Private Wealth Advisor, and I'll be your host for today's conversation. At UBS and the Radius Group, we take a holistic approach to wealth management. That means we're not just focused on investments. We spend a lot of time helping families think through planning, protection, and legacy. And estate planning is a big part of that. When most people think about estate planning, they think about documents, you know, wills, trusts, powers of attorney. And those things are absolutely important and matter, but in our experience, that's rarely what families struggle with most when a loss actually happens. What we see instead is uncertainty. Questions like, what would they have wanted? Where is everything? Who's supposed to handle this? Those are very human questions, really not necessarily legal ones. That's what today's conversation is about, the invisible side of estate planning. The part that goes beyond documents and legal terms and really focuses on clarity, communication, and caring for people that we leave behind. Recently, UBS published a resource called Life After Me, a Survivor's Handbook. What stood out to us is how practical and human it is. It's not a legal document. It's a guide families can use to organize important information, capture personal wishes, and make things easier for the people who will one day have to step in and handle the details. We felt the idea behind this handbook was so thoughtful that we wanted to invite its author to join us and talk through the experiences that inspired it. I'm joined today by Kathy Gossard. Kathy is a director and associate wealth strategist on UBS's advanced planning team, and she works closely with families navigating these moments every day. Kathy, thanks so much for being here, and we're really glad to have you.
Thank you so much, Blair. You're exactly right that in my experience, I've got about 30 years of experience in estate administration, so post-death administration. And the one thing that I loved about it was that every family's different. Every situation is different. But one thing that's really similar is all the family members want to do what the decedent would have wanted. And that is why this book is so important, is that it provides a guide for what you're answering questions that your family is going to have after your death ahead of time. And you're providing a source for them so that they don't have to guess and they don't have to argue with each other. And they can streamline some of these processes. And you're absolutely right. This is not a legal document. In fact, in advanced planning, we don't give tax or legal advice. We have about 40 former estate planning and tax professionals, either tax attorneys or paralegals, and we no longer practice, but we still have that knowledge. So we are available for all ultra high net worth clients and financial advisors. We're free, and we are here to answer any questions that we can.
That's great. Why don't we just go ahead and jump right in and kind of get some more clarity on that? In fact, a year and a half ago, I lost my mom, so I know all too well what this means to go through something like this. And I guess I'd love to start with maybe just jumping right in one of my first questions for you, which would be, you know, what do you see most often when families are actually living through this? You know, from your experience working with families after a loss, what do they see the hardest part in those early days and what tends to surprise them the most?
Well, I'm so sorry to hear that, Blair. It's so difficult to lose a loved one. And that is usually where I came in as an estate planning, or really an estate administration paralegal. My first contact with the family would usually be about 2 weeks after death. And at that time, families were coming in to go through the estate planning documents. They had no idea what was ahead of them in terms of the nitty-gritty details that they were going to have to go through and answer, documents they would have to find, and the amount of time that it was going to take the attorneys and everybody else they were working with to administer the estate. But even before that meeting that I had with them, there were so many obstacles that they could have overcome. And I can't tell you how many people just don't talk about funeral arrangements. You know, where do they want their services held? Do they want a service? You know, who should initiate the service? Is there a favorite poem that they would like to have read? Is there favorite music that they would like to have played for them? Even how they're buried. And if I could share an experience that happened, it's not actually while I was working in the law firm. This happened to a friend of mine. Her father-in-law had, he had leukemia and he was dying. Nobody wanted to talk to him about burial because they were really hoping for a miracle. His wife had had some dementia. And so the family, after he passed away, was discussing amongst themselves, what did dad want? Where do you want to be buried? Well, one person had heard he wanted to be buried in the family cemetery, kind of downstate Illinois. Another person heard that he wanted to be buried in a cemetery near his wife. Another person heard that he wanted to be cremated. He wanted it to be simple. They couldn't decide. They had to make a decision. They went with the most cost-efficient way. They cremated him. And he was sitting in an urn on his wife's mantle in assisted living. And somebody found a file that said burial. And that was months later. And in that file, he was an environmentalist. He had written that he wanted a natural burial with a certain kind of casket that would not pollute the earth. He had bought a plot in that family cemetery in downstate Illinois. He may have told his wife, but she didn't remember. Maybe he never told her. But that was a tragedy, you know. People were angry at each other. And why didn't we go through those files ahead of time? Well, very often, burial instructions are in documents that are not accessed before the burial has to happen. So sometimes burial instructions are in a will, and sometimes they're in a healthcare power of attorney. If those documents are not at hand when people are making plans, then they're going to have to guess, and they might guess wrong. So. Yeah. That was an unfortunate situation.
Well, I know just from my own experience, just with my mom, that, you know, I'm in this business. I've worked with attorneys. We've done a lot of this planning. But when it happens to you, you start to second guess yourself and think through, have we done everything? Did we do everything? And it was a learning experience just to go through it myself with somebody I was very close with, just to talk with our own clients. In fact, a common joke with my wife and I is, she always laughs because I'm a planner and I really want to have things scripted. And I've kind of laid out, you know, if I were to pass away or when I pass away, here's what I want to have happen. And I say, so how about you? And she's just kind of saying, well, whatever you want to do is fine with me. It doesn't matter. It's plan, you know, funerals are for the living, not the dead. And so it'll be for you or if you're here after me or whoever else. And so whatever you decide is fine. So it's kind of a joke, obviously, but she doesn't really care that much, but I have made her write these things down just so I'd know. And when I get in that moment, you know, it's going to be certainly a blur like it has been with my mom.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, if you don't care, write that down too.
Right. Yeah. Right? I don't then care. Everybody exactly. Wants, right? Exactly. So, she cares. Yeah. She just likes to have fun with me though, I think, to say it's whatever you want. So, yeah. So Kathy, I guess that kind of leads to one of my other questions and maybe you answered it, but even when legal documents exist, you know, where do you often see most confusion or stress show up for families, kind of in this same realm we're talking about?
Well, I can kind of break it into two areas. One is finding stuff. Even the most organized person still has files all over the place. So finding stuff and trusting people are the two areas where I think people stress out the most. Finding stuff. I used to prepare estate tax returns, and estate tax returns are for clients who have about $15 million in a gross estate. That's probably a lot of our clients. And so we need statements we can get from the bank, but very often they're electronic. So where is the password to the account, right? So people will have to try to reset a password, which is then sent to somebody's email address, and they don't have the password for the email address. And so we have to try to get in with Google. That's one thing. Where are all those passwords? Here's another thing. In Illinois, you have to file a will within 30 days. We keep important documents locked up. So we keep them in safe deposit boxes or a locked file cabinet. Where's the key, right? Where is the key? People hide keys for those important lock boxes. In the case of a bank, in order to get into a safe deposit box, you need the key, but you also have to be on the box. You have to be listed on the box. So if you're not listed on the box and you don't have the key, they'll have to drill a hole. That's expensive. the bank will require you, the executor of the estate, to direct them to get into the box. Well, in order to be executor of the estate, you have to be appointed by a court. The court needs the original will. The original will is probably in the box. You don't know. And that is a cycle, and it requires attorney time. And oh my gosh, attorneys are so expensive. Paralegals are so expensive, charging by the hour just to get into a safe deposit box to get that will. That is tough. So that is the finding stuff part of it, knowing where all those documents are, knowing where those passwords are. Life insurance policies. Life insurance companies do not issue statements annually. Not always. And so if you are a veteran and you have a life insurance policy through the VA, unless you have it written down or unless we know about it, then we have to call the VA and have them search through their records. Maybe you bought a policy from your college roommate a long time ago. You're not getting statements on that anymore. It's all paid up. It's still there. Well, if you don't write it down, we don't know about it. Right. And so tracking that stuff down, I actually have had to call life insurance companies, a number of them, trying to track down a life insurance policy that somebody was sure that their father had. That's so expensive for them. If only somebody had written it down, the person who knew about it wrote it down, we would save so much time and money.
I couldn't agree more. And I've been on the hunt with clients a little bit, trying to figure things out like this from a distance. One of the things that really stood out to me in reading through the handbook was how much attention it gives to things that aren't really strictly legal or financial. It's just more of those notes, right? just because. So question I've got for you is, in your experience, mm-hmm. what are some of the most overlooked parts of estate planning?
The emotional stuff. So, you know, what to do with the dog or cat, and what to do with a special heirloom vase. In legal documents, very often the language is that the executor or the trustee shall distribute the tangible personal property equally among the children. Well, then it's up to the executor or trustee to make those decisions. If mom really cares who the heirloom vase goes to, write it down. And I can't tell you how many times I have heard one of the children say, mom told me that I should have that. And somebody else says, mom told me I should have that. That was so important to me growing up. And that creates angst within the family. And that's the last thing people want. So if it is something that is important to them, write it down and try to make it equal, you know. And here's another thing, like choosing who are you going to choose as executor? Well, that's not necessarily a fun job, but some people feel like it's, you know, it's an honor. So if you're choosing one kid over another as an executor or trustee, explain why. And if you can do that during your lifetime, that's awesome. If you want to write it down why you chose them, okay. As long as they know and they're not fighting and trying to remove them from office. And I have to tell you I can't tell you how many times I've seen that happen. They want to remove someone from office, even if they're charging their time, right? This is a very extensive job to be a fiduciary for your parents' will or trust. And so people sometimes charge their time, or if they're an attorney, they'll use their law firm. Is that okay? Write that down so that everybody knows it's okay with you that they did that.
Yeah, the key here I keep hearing is write that down, you know, write it down, have a place that it's written down so that maybe there were multiple conversations. Maybe mom or dad weren't even fully remembering that they told so-and-so the same thing. And if it's not written down, it's hard to know that. So I guess when it comes to those personal wishes, you know, things that aren't necessarily legal or financial, why do you think that matters so much to families?
Like I mentioned at the very beginning, you know, the one constant I see with families is that everybody wants to do what mom or dad wants it. They're not saying, I want this. It's mom or dad would have done this. And they really believe mom or dad would have wished that you made a certain decision, or mom or dad would never have wanted us to sell the family farm or something like that. And if I could give like one personal example of the personal wishes page, which I want to give full credit to a GTP by the name of Ichiro Kubuzono. He is the one who came up with this personal wishes page. He, like you, Blair, had lost not just one parent, but two parents within a short period of time. He's a very young guy. And this personal wishes page was something that he added personally. He also is the one who came up with the title of this piece, Life After Me, which I just love. But the personal wishes page is a a great place to start if you don't feel like filling this out with all the enormity of detail. And what happened with me is I brought it to my parents. I gave them each a copy. My dad looked at it. He's an estate planning attorney. And he handed it to my mom and said, fill this out for me. And she said, I've got my own. I may know some of this stuff, but I don't know all of it. We turned to the personal wishes page. And my dad looked at it and he said, write down that I want my children to use their inheritance to take annual trips together, to keep the family together. Wow. Like,
That's cool. We're
going to do that.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. And he said, and believe it or not, we do have a family farm that's been in the family since the Civil War, passed over generations to generations. Nobody's ever sold it. Nobody ever intended on selling it. But after my generation, it's going to split into 14 people. He said, if it turns out that the family farm is too hard for you to keep, if the family decides it's okay with me that you sell it, that's huge. Yeah. We never expected him to say that, but he just relieved an enormous guilt from us if we ever had to sell it and we felt we were going against his wishes. He's just given us permission to do it. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So he's just, go ahead.
That breath of fresh air, kind of that relief that you feel like, hey, this is okay. This is what he's told us.
Yeah. It's okay. And nobody can argue about what they thought Dad would have wanted because he wrote it down.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, similarly with my situation, the estate planning attorney that we've worked with, my wife and I have amended her documents a couple of times, but she's been really great about saying, look, here's a huge binder full of legal documents that most people don't really know what they mean. And they're going to probably need somebody like me to come in and help kind of decipher what's what. What I would recommend is write a little letter to your guardians of your kids. I've got four kids that are all under the age of 18, one of which who has special needs. And so we have the extent of a special needs trust and so forth. But having a letter to them, and it's not a 20-page document. It's a 2-page document that just spells out, hey, here's 80 pages of the legal documents, but here's what we're trying to accomplish in 2 pages. And here was our goals and here are our wishes. But at the end of the day, you know, here's the money, here are the kids, and good luck and God bless. We trust you and we want you to do the best you can, but here were some of our wishes and some of our thoughts behind what all this meant. And that's really what this document that we're talking about that can be very helpful is just to organize your thoughts and kind of lay it out if you were still there to explain what you wanted to have happen.
Right, right. Well, not everybody is like you, Blair, that they're open about that and thinking about that. Most people don't want to even think about death, and they don't want to talk about it with their kids, and their kids don't want to talk about it with them. So to the extent that you can put things in writing that they can read later, it's the next best thing, right?
The goal is to try to take them off the hook, like you were just talking about, you know, let them know, hey, gosh, there shouldn't hopefully be any, I wonder if this is what they wanted. I mean, I'm sure there's still going to be some of that, but the more we can explain in our words, in layman's terms, this is what we were trying to accomplish, and this is what our goals are. Even when our kids were little, maybe laying out a little bit of here's the routine, here's what they like to do when they were really little. Now they're older, they can speak for themselves a little more clearly. But even with our son that has a special needs, just probably outlining a little bit more of what that looks like for him. So his world doesn't get turned upside down.
Yep.
Well, this has been incredibly insightful. You know, as we wrap up, if our listeners were to take away just one thing from the conversation, one action that they could take for the people they love, what would that be? What would you hope that would be for them?
I would say fill out that personal wishes page. I mean, the other stuff your attorneys can do. I mean, I created the Life After Me because I was trying to make things easier for trying to save people money. Right. Essentially, because actually one of the financial advisors in our office had said, gosh, you've got this great post-death estate checklist. How about something, action items for clients ahead of time? Well, the one thing that I cannot do as a paralegal and nobody could have done is fill out the personal wishes page. So if you could just fill that out and nothing else, please do that.
Yeah, that kind of just ties things up and wraps things up. That feels more manageable and it's probably mm-hmm. less overwhelming. Just to try to say, here's the one thing, just the personal wishes. If nothing else, do that. and make sure you really give people a little bit of a guideline of where to go and what your thoughts were. And hopefully that helps give people a little bit of peace in a very difficult time when you're not here anymore.
Right, exactly.
Well, Kathy, this has been great and extremely helpful. It's so important to remember that estate planning isn't just about transferring assets. It's about all these things we've just been discussing. It's about reducing uncertainty, really honoring wishes, and making a difficult time just a little easier for people who you care about. And so for anyone listening who would like a digital copy of the Life After Me Survivor's Handbook, you can reach out to our team by emailing us at radiusgroup@ubs.com, and we'd be happy to share it with you. Kathy, thank you for sharing your experience and your perspective with us today. This was such a meaningful discussion.
Thank you, Blair. I really enjoyed this.
And as always, thank you to our listeners for spending time with us. If you found today's conversation helpful or thought-provoking, we'd encourage you to share it with your loved ones, especially those you might one day want to have these conversations with. Until next time, this is Blair signing off.
Today's episode features financial advisors with UBS Financial Services Incorporated, a subsidiary of UBS Group AG, member FINRA, SIPC, located at 3601 Rigby Road, Miamisburg, Ohio, and can be reached at radiusgroup@ubs.com. This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services Incorporated offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC registered broker dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary.